Hi, everyone. Eve Harrow, Rejuvenation on the Land of Israel Network. Today is September 29th, 2020, the 11th day of Tishrei 5781, which means it is the morning after Yom Kippur. Strange Yom Kippur, at least for me. It's the only one that I can remember, including during the years when I had small babies, that I didn't go at all to synagogue. And the reason for that is, in addition to the seger, in addition to the lockdown in Israel, which did permit people to go to synagogue, albeit in small groups, I am stuck at home because one of my sons is sick with COVID-19, although thank God, mild case, second day of Rosh Hashanah, he was feeling a little bit dizzy. So he went into his room, got him tested the next day, and it turns out that he was positive, although both my husband and I have tested negative. And so far, anybody that was in contact with him, because we also had prayers in our house for Rosh Hashanah in our backyard and people for meals, so far, I don't think, I haven't heard of anybody getting sick from him. So such a strange disease. He was where he thinks he got it. He was with a friend of his for maybe 15 minutes, 2 meters apart, both wearing masks, yet he seems to have picked it up. But thank God it doesn't seem like he gave it out. So I don't know what all this means. If anybody could figure it out, they would win the Nobel Prize for medicine. So I'm in a very big boat. In any event, looks like he's got the neurological side of this, meaning he's lost his sense of taste and his sense of smell. But other than that, except for a little bit of fever, he hasn't been sick and hasn't had the cough and all the really, really bad symptoms that people have had. So hopefully he'll have his immunity, even though nobody knows what that means either. And if there is such a thing, and they don't test for antibodies here in Israel, which I'm not really sure why. So we're not even going to know in any event. But what it means is that I have to spend 14 days in the house. My husband less, because he's a physician and they're so short on medical staff. So there's a special dispensation for medical personnel that after 10 days in this kind of situation where you're exposed to somebody like first degree, if you go and take a test and it's negative, another test and it's negative, then you can go back out. So that's where he's going to be at. And my son, if he's symptom free for 3 days, he can also go out. So in this weird rules that they have, that this is where I start to lose it in terms of it making sense, I could actually be in isolation longer than either of them, longer than my son, who was actually sick. So I don't do very well stuck at home. And Yom Kippur was very strange because it was a very long day, because I find that being in synagogue helps the day pass, and being with everybody and singing with everybody, and wasn't able to do that. So I had prayed on my own for most of the day. Although the way our backyard is situated, we were able to hear one of the street minyanim, one of the groups of people that were praying on the street. And in an even weirder twist, one of them was being led by a very old friend of ours who does not yet live in Israel, but comes here for the holidays, or tries to come here for the holidays, hasn't been here in a few months, has a beautiful voice. And he was leading the prayers, because they did come for this time period, even though we haven't seen them yet, because they're still in quarantine and we're in quarantine and it's just up the block. But we were able to hear his prayers, which is him leading the prayers. He has a beautiful voice, but also it's a connection of, oh my goodness, many, 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 many years, at least 40 some odd years. So that was really nice, and got to at least, it was very, very hot outside in Israel yesterday. So, but in the early morning, for Kol Nidrei and the evening, the first evening, and also for Ne'ilah, for the closing prayers, we were able to be outside. It wasn't so terrible. And we're able to hear those prayers along, to say them with other people and hear some of the singing. And of course, hear the shofar, hear the end blowing of the shofar coming from all kinds of different places. So it was a different Yom Kippur. I wouldn't choose to spend Yom Kippur like this, but made the best of it, and still hopefully got in some good prayers. I was using the prayer book of Koren, which is just so excellent. And Rabbi Jonathan Sachs is the one who does the commentary in it. He's just so brilliant. And one of the things that I was reading is the difference between the priests and the prophets, they're very different, actually. And what the priests talk about, and what you read about during the Yom Kippur prayers, they're more focused on atonement and really more, I guess, on the individual, the nation also, but very much on the individual and atonement. And the prophets tend to focus more on the nation and on tshuva, on returning, and on the nation having to be good to one another in terms of social justice. Otherwise, God is not going to be with us. So the Rambam picks up more on the priestly level of it. The Ramban, Nachmanides, more going into the direction of what the prophets are saying. Anyhow, I'm probably making a big muck up of what's really essentially a brilliant analysis. But that's what I was reading yesterday and thinking to myself that we, in the absence really of anything that the priests do now, except for the priestly blessing, which is very moving and very beautiful, but it's because we don't have a temple, so they don't have the whole service that they do. But then again, we don't have any prophets either, even though we've got a whole lot of people who think they are. But both of those ways of looking at our relationship with Hashem are just so important right now. And instead of judging other people, we really, on the one hand, need to focus on ourselves and what we could do better in terms of our fellow man, in terms of our relationship to God, but also as a nation, like where we are, you know, in terms of that. And I think that one of the beautiful things that is happening, that it for me is mitigating a lot of what is not sitting easily for me with a new lockdown and really not sure that this is the way to go, it's the fact that we are trying to protect our weak and our vulnerable, which is mainly the older people. And that is not what every country does. And I think that that's super important. And one of the essences of the Torah is that a nation is made up of and judged by what we do with the people who can't protect themselves, be it the widow, be it the orphan, be it the elderly, be it the sick. That's not something that in the ancient world was so easy to just say, yeah, but of course. No, those were people who were considered a burden on society, someone else to feed, someone else to take care of who's not doing their part. And a lot of times those people were cut off. And so that's not something that we're doing, even though it is making it difficult for the rest of society. And so I think that that's a beautiful thing. I hope we can continue doing that. And even though it was a very strange Yom Kippur for many people, hopefully it's the last one we have to spend like this. And hopefully the lessons that we have time to maybe think about, because some of us have a whole lot of time on our hands, and I'm not a big TV watcher, so there's a lot of thinking, there's a lot of reading that goes into the time that I can't be busy, because essentially I'm usually, my personality is a busy person, and the last few months have been hard for me and a big switch to not be able to do that, to not be able to guide, to not be able to be out there and doing things. So, but speaking of doing things, we lost a big doer. We lost someone who's really been so important for the Jewish people, a woman who has blazed a trail for many of us, who made a tremendous impact. And of course, I am talking about, drum roll please, oh, not who you think I am. I'm talking about Rabbanit Miriam Levinger, one of the women who at the end of the 70s went back to Hebron and really reestablished the Jewish presence in Hebron. For any of us who've gone to the Tomb of the Patriarchs, to Maran HaMachpelah, to pray, to visit, to been able to tour around Hebron to see this amazing city with its tremendously long history. I take people to what we think are the stairs that Abraham walked up on about 3,800 years ago, to the gates of the city, which you can't see right now, the ancient gates of the city. They're probably under the road, but the stairs are definitely there, and they've been dated to that time period, in order to buy the cave at the edge of the field that starts everything, and the tremendous history all through there. And it has been accessible to us because of, in the main, Rabbanit Miriam Levinger and other women who blazed that trail for the Jewish people to enable resettlement after 1967 and after 700 years, you heard that right, after 700 years of Jews, because of Muslim edicts, not being allowed to go visit the Tomb of the Patriarchs. And once again, we can now. Of course, haven't been there in a while, but theoretically, we can now. And it is such an incredibly important place. She was an amazing woman. She passed away. She got sick. Oh, I assume she was sick before, but she was in critical condition on the eve of Yom Kippur, and she passed away after Yom Kippur. May her memory be for a blessing. And she did, she and her late husband, who passed away about 5 years ago, really did a tremendous amount for all the Jewish people, not just Jewish people, but anybody who holds Hebron dear and wants to be able to be to visit Hebron, no matter what your religion is. And that's also allowed now. I've taken many Christians to Hebron also, because since it's under Israel, it's under the protection of the IDF and of the Israeli government, then Christians can also go, because the Jews allow these holy sites to be open and want the holy sites to be open to everybody, as opposed to what happens when we're not in control, and as opposed really what happens to even when we are in control, like in the Temple Mount, which is just a terrible humiliation that we allow the Muslims to destroy so many things on our holiest site. And hopefully that is something that in the next year will be taken care of, and not just the Temple Mount, but other sites all around the country, archaeological digs and Sebastia, Shomron, and other places that, even though they're technically in Area C and under Israeli law, we cannot, well, not really Israeli law, Israeli military law, we are not protecting properly. And so I'm hoping that the powers that be will realize that that needs to be done, and that we will have more people around with the spirit and the gumption and the faith of Rabbanit Miriam Levinger, and that that is something that she will have left the world, even though she has physically left the world, but that that pride will have gone into many people and maybe change the world even after she is gone. I have had the opportunity to meet her son, Malachi Levinger, who for a while was the mayor of Kiryat Arba Hebron, and to bring groups to him. And he certainly imbibed that from both his parents, that desire to care and to help and to and really keep their towns on the map. And that's something that we've been able to help with also in terms of security, et cetera, through an Israel fund, because if a place isn't safe and you can't get there, then that's not great either. So it's a combined effort of a lot of people, and of course of the soldiers who keep Hebron safe all the time, so that we can get down there, and praying as always for them to be safe. And on the anniversary, the 47th anniversary of the Yom Kippur War, a lot of thoughts and a lot of articles written about the failures of, not just the failures of intelligence, but the failures of thinking about what might happen, some of the hubris of the post six-day war, that we were invincible. And so there needs to be a balance between being strong and really physically being strong and not weakening ourselves, but also at the end of the day, realizing that we're not invincible, and that it's a big partnership between people doing their best and, of course, Hashem and what he wants for his people. So, That was Yom Kippur. A lot of thoughts about the day. Coming into Sukkot, which is going to be a very strange Sukkot. The picture that accompanies this podcast is of a third of our Sukkah, which is all that we built this year, because normally we have tons of company and my kids and grandchildren and friends come over, and like 30 people sometimes for a meal. And that's not going to be happening this year, also because because of the lockdown in Israel. So my kids can't get here. And also because at least for the first day or so, I won't be able to have people over. And so it's the smallest sukkah that we have had since we were first married. The pictures, the painting on the wall is just four of the seven species that one of my daughters painted many, many, many years ago. And that is one wall of our sukkah, or the beautiful paintings of the seven species that we have, but we only put some of it together this year. So it's also going to be a different kind of a holiday, but it's still a holiday, and it's still a cause for gratitude, and it's just different. So I guess I know for me, and I know for a lot of you also, it's those of us, and not that I'm a control freak, but I'm a little bit like that. Okay, more than a little bit like that. It's that understanding that we don't control so much, that is a big lesson, at least for me, and I would imagine for some of you as well. With that, I am going to end this podcast. Just wanted to give a little message out and wishing happy holiday, happy Sukkot, Chag Sukkot Sameach, well, at the end of which, well, we'll still do another podcast next week, so I don't have to talk about the end of Sukkot right now. But I hope that you all had a, whoever fasted, had a meaningful fast, that our prayers are answered, that we start fresh. It's a cool thing, Yom Kippur. It's really an amazing and very, I don't know if it's novel. It's not like New Year's and resolutions on the secular calendar. It's something much deeper than that, to really to ask for forgiveness and to ask for another chance and to feel this tremendous weight at the end of like, okay, like Hashem heard me, and we'll see where this goes and we'll see where the next year goes. It's a cool thing. And so I hope that for whoever of you who celebrated Yom Kippur, that it was today is a day of new beginnings in a really great sense and for the world as well. And I know that those of us who said that God should like wipe out the plague said it with a little more maybe meaning and understanding this year than we have in the past. And so wishing you all a Sukkot Sameach. And I just hope that wherever you are, you're well, and that we'll all have at least a good week for starters. So with much thanks to Tabitha and to Ben, Eve Harrow, Rejuvenation on the Land of Israel Network. Take care, everybody. Goodbye for now.
The Land of Israel Fellowship is going strong. Learn about the secrets of the Day of Atonement. To join the Land of Israel Fellowship, our special premium learning experience with Jeremy Gimpel and Aria Bromwitz, go to thelandofisrael.com/fellowship.